I am going to be away for Shabbos. I just thought it would be good. Well, every Friday, I think the plan is, instead of a Temen Halacha Shir, we're going to do a little bit of Parsha. Because it makes sense to do that on Fridays. The theme of Parshas Korach is Machlokas, right? That's clearly the theme of Parshas Korach. It's all about Machlokas. You want to know how to have Machlokas. Shalom L'shem Shemayim, Korach V'Adaso. That's what the Mishnah gives it as the paradigmatic example of a Machlokas. Shalom L'shem Shemayim is the Machlokas. Korach V'Adaso. We find many lessons about Machlokas, and L'chora, more importantly than about Machlokas itself, about how to avoid Machlokas. Meaning, a lot of times you learn from people what to do, and sometimes you learn from people what not to do. So if Korach lives in infamy because of his insistence on Machlokas, we can learn from him what not to do, how not to make a name for yourself. And there is a single word, though, that seems to come up throughout the Torah in almost every Machlokas, and it's a little bit of a funny word to use in the context of Machlokas, but the word is from the Shoresh of Lina. What does Lina normally mean? Lina normally means overnight, something's left overnight. Right before Sheni, this week's Parsha, it describes a Machlokas. Aron mahu ki salinu alav. We find after Korach is swallowed by the earth, Vayilonu kaladas Yisrael mimacharas, that it's a lashon of a complaint, an argument against Moshe and Aaron. Even in last week's Parsha, in Parsha Shalach, we find that word of Lina repeatedly, right after Revi'i, Admasa le'eda hara zosa sharhema malinim olai. Again, in last week's Parsha, after they're told that they're going to be punished, Asher halinosem olai. Pasuk says, Va'anashim asher shalach Moshe l'suras haaretz v'yashuvu vayilonu alav. And back in Bishalach, in the first time we complained at Mara, vayilonu ha'am al Moshe le'mar manishte. Vayilonu is the word that's used throughout the Torah for complaining, for arguing, for that's the word that's used in the incident when they ask for meat. V'nachnu ma ki salinu alav. Are you all Balei Kriya, or you just happen to know the Chumash? That's really great. No, I'm just like, normally I just go it's like really nice that everyone's finishing off with something good. What does that word mean, and how does that relate to Machlokas? Why is the word Lina a word that relates to Machlokas? That's question number one. Question number two. After the incident of Korach, Moshe Rabbeinu has the leaders of each Shevet place a stick down, and Aaron HaKohen places his stick down as well. Everybody else's stick remains the same the next day. It was a dead stick, it remains a dead stick. Whereas Aaron HaKohen's stick grew Perach, Vetzitz, Ushkedim. All of a sudden it was a dead stick, and it started growing things, it started growing fruit. One of our speakers this week was speaking about this. Who was it? Was Rabbi Berman speaking about that? About how the dead stick grew almonds and... Come on, guys. Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure, right? It was Harry Berman that I was speaking about, right? That it grew, that all of a sudden it was a dead stick and it started growing things on the stick. So that symbolized that, you know, that was Simon Minash Shemayim, that Aaron was chosen, meaning that Aaron's supposed to be the guy. You're arguing that Aaron shouldn't be the Kohen Gadol. So comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, look, I'm going to make a miracle, and it's going to show you that Aaron is supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. Good, it's a wonderful episode in Chumash, and it shows us about the divine support that was given to Aaron HaKohen, which makes us feel very good. That symbolizes that Aaron was chosen. Moshe Rabbeinu then takes the stick, shows everybody, look, fellas, your sticks are dead. Aaron's stick is growing Shkedim. Aaron's stick is growing Tzitzim U'Prachim U'Shkedim. So obviously Aaron is chosen, so everybody packs up and goes home, right? That's how the story should end. Everybody packs up and goes home and says, well, I guess we lost, you think you have a chance to win, it's the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, you have the bases loaded, you think you might mount a comeback, you struck out. So like, you don't just stay on the field, like, okay, so you lost, you go home, right? Game over, that's it, there's nothing else. However, the pasuk tells us not just that everyone went home, it says, vayikhu ish matehu. That everyone went and said, oh, I better grab that dead stick of mine. Why did they have these sticks in the first place? The stick was there just to see if they were chosen, just to see if their stick would grow shkedim. It didn't, and now what you're left with is a dead stick. Why would you go and pick that back up? Meaning, what would be the point of picking it back up. It's used already. Why would people want to take their sticks back? You know, sometimes, you know, if you have a great victory, you wanna have some symbol of that great victory. You get a really good grade on a test. The parents post that in the refrigerator. Like, you fail, and the parent posts it in the refrigerator. That's child abuse, right? You wouldn't want to take something that, like, a sign of absolute failure and bring that home with you. Why would you want to do that? So I think the Yesod is as follows. The Shorish of Lina, of course, really means to stay overnight. A Korban can become Pasul Belina, right? That if you have a Korban Shlom, can be eaten for 2 days and one night, and if you leave it over another night, so it becomes Pasul. It's Pasul Belina. Or Korbanos that are eaten for Yom Echad V'Layla Echad. So the next morning, they're already Pasul. And that's called the Psul Lina. And maybe this is teaching us a fundamental idea about Machlokas. You see, it would be superhuman for a person to never get upset, to never want to argue with someone, to never feel slighted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to be superhuman. It would be impossible to expect people not to have a difference of opinion, not to be offended, not to be insulted. People have an innate desire for kavod. We're born that way. And when we feel that we're not being treated with a certain level of dignity, or the dignity that we deserve, or that we would have hoped for, we tend to react negatively. Even if just internally, we tend to react negatively. I'm reminded of the story about Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, who said, I heard this maysa from Rav Goldwicht. Rav Goldwicht was a ben bayis by Rav Shlomo Zalman, so he had a lot of great stories about Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said Rav Shlomo Zalman's wife's levaya. Rav Shlomo Zalman got up and he said that the minhag at a levaya is that the family members are supposed to ask mechila of the nifter for any way that they may have mistreated the nifter. And Rav Shlomo Zalman said, "We were married for over 60 years, and I'm not going to ask mechila, because after 60 years there's nothing for which to ask mechila. Our marriage was with such respect, such mutual respect, that after over 60 years there's nothing for which to ask mechila." Now that is not human, right? Meaning most marriages, you can't go 60 seconds without having what to ask mechila for. 60 years and nothing to ask mechila? You know, when I tell this story to Hassanim, I say, like, you know, because every Hassan thinks, like, yeah, I'll be just like that. I'm also going to go 60 years without having to ask. I said, that's like reading the Rav Eliyashiv biography, where, you know, we've discussed, I think, the biography says that Rav Eliyashiv, when he was 6 years old, plopped himself down in the Beis Medrash and stayed there until he was 106 and died. And he just, he learned 20 hours a day for 100 years straight, essentially. And the whole biography is like, and his daughter had surgery, and he was learning, and his child got married, and he left early so he could learn. And he was, everything was just about things that were happening around him while he was learning. That's where Rav Eliyashiv's entire life was Limud HaTorah. His family said that he never told stories, ever, about, like, things that happened to him. And they got all excited once, because he once said to them, you know, when I was a teenager, and they're like, yeah, like, he said, I thought of the following chiddush. It's like hearing the Rav Eliyashiv biography and saying, oh, I'm going to be like that. I'm also going to learn for 20 hours a day for 100 years straight. No, you're not. Nobody's going to. There's a Rav Eliyashiv that's once in many generations that appears. Rav Shlomo Zalman, not having anything to ask Mechila for after 60 years, that's not normal. That is beyond anything. So the story goes that someone said to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's amazing, you never got into an argument with your wife over 60 years. He said, who said that? I said, well, you just said you had nothing to ask mechila for. He said, no, we disagreed all the time, but we did so respectfully. So there's nothing to ask mechila for. You don't have to ask mechila to disagree with somebody. You're a human being. Of course you're allowed to disagree with somebody. But to always do so with love and with respect and with dignity. And to, so that's what, but even that is so beyond what a typical human could be expected to do. But so what is the trick then? I mean, if everybody's going to get insulted at some point, everybody's going to be upset at some point, it's just the natural ebb and flow of emotions. There are days that you're tired, and when you're tired, you tend to be more grumpy, and there are the right. So, if that's just the natural way of things, so what exactly is the goal? Meaning, if of course we're all going to be balei machlokas to some degree. So, last year I was listening to a podcast at some point, it was an interview that the Boca Raton rabbis at the time were doing with a couple by the name of Mr. and Mrs. Blufeld. I hope they're still alive and well. They had been married for 80 years. Both of them were over 100 years old. And I think Rabbi Goldberg asked him, someone asked him, what was the secret to success? One of them asked, what was the secret to the success in your marriage? And Mr. Blufeld, David, do you know these people? The Blufelds?
No.
Okay. So Mr. Blufeld confessed. He said, we disagree and we argue all the time, just like any other couple. But he said, you know, our rule was when we got married, we never go to bed angry. 80 years of marriage, and every single night, they made sure that whatever disagreements they had that may have existed during the day, at night, that it was put to bed, and it was not, their disagreements did not wake up the next morning. Meaning it was gone. That day was over. Whatever they were arguing about was irrelevant the next day. And I think that's the key. A person who gets offended, a person who has tainas, is not necessarily a bal machlokas. A person who has tainas, a person who gets offended, is a human being. What distinguishes a bal machlokas from others is that a bal machlokas holds on to that machlokas. He can't let it go. He lives with that machlokas. His feelings of hurt, his feelings of offense remain sharp even the next day. It's as if each day he's being offended anew, and because he's still living in that moment. You know, the story is told of the Hasidic Rebbe who had special Shalom Bayis water, where whenever a husband would come and he would express aggravation or annoyance with his wife, that he would advise the man, you could express yourself, but only after holding the water in your mouth for as long as you possibly could. You take a sip of the water, keep it in your mouth, hold it there for as long as you could, and once you can't anymore, then you'll swallow, you'll spit it out, and then you'll express yourself. The longer you can hold it in your mouth, though, the better the school is going to work. That was what the Rebbe told the person. Now, of course, after a long time of doing nothing but thinking, because you can't talk, and all you can do is think, the husband realized, is this really worth fighting about? Like, is this really? My wife revealed to me about a year ago that she has a mental exercise that she goes through when I do something annoying. She said she thinks to herself, she pauses and asks herself, is there any point in arguing over here, or is this an issue that could be solved in like a second or two? Right? Meaning the little things that people, like, the cabinets were left open, the drawers were left open. You could scream about it, or you could just go close them. Right? Meaning like you could solve the problem very quickly without any confrontation, and the problem will go away. And it's just, all you need is that school of water in your mouth, just to think for a second and say, well, is this worth it? Meaning the longer one holds on to something, the more of a bal machlokas a person is. The key to not being a bal machlokas is not to never get offended. We're not Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach. The key to not being a bal machlokas is to know how to let go of things, to just let it go. I was just dealing with a Shalom Bayis situation where a young husband was telling me, he said, I do things wrong. Of course I do things wrong. I'm a human being. But he said, I apologize for them. And then anytime I do anything, everything that I've ever done is brought up again. Everything that I've ever done is thrown back in my face. Well, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why did you do that? But I apologize for those things already. I thought we're past those things. But it never goes away. Now, obviously, each situation is complicated in there. If he has to apologize every second for everything that he's doing, then maybe he's, you know, maybe she's seeing a pattern or whatever. I'm not getting involved in that specific situation right now. But that basic idea that a person has to be able to let go, that a person has to, when you say apology accepted, it has to mean apology accepted, and I'm ready to turn a new page, I'm ready to move on. You know, the fact that the word vayilonu or vayalinu refers to machlokas and bali machlokas is such a beautiful example of the depth and the profundity of the Hebrew language. Because once a machlokas remains, after it should have been released, after it should have been forgotten about, after it should have been put to bed, then you have an example of balei machlokas. Then you have an example of an inexcusable level of negative midos of machlokas. So the simple explanation of taking the sticks home at night might be that sometimes people can be motivated by their failures. You know, the Gemara talks about a kupa shel shratzim that people have behind them that reminds them of their humble beginnings or of where they come from. So it will serve to energize them to try harder. And that may be true over here also. That maybe you take home that symbol of failure to show to motivate yourself to be better next time. But maybe there's an additional explanation in light of this important yesod about machlokas. They say in the name of the Briska Rav, that the leaders of the Shvatim, who were called by Moshe Rabbeinu to sort of apply for the position of Kohuna Gadola by laying their sticks down, so that was their application, they were rejected. They had hoped for the job, but then when they were turned down, they took it home. It was over. So if it's over, you take it home with you, you pack it up. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, who we're going to have an opportunity to meet later this summer, he suggested that the idea is that this demonstration was made to show how to disagree properly. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't saying, you guys are a bunch of idiots, Just stop claiming that you deserve the Kuna Gedola. He said, okay, let's have the machlokas, let's have the confrontation, and then let's resolve the confrontation, let's resolve it, let's deal with it. And as soon as it's dealt with, then we have to go home. It's okay to want the Kuna Gedola. It's okay to fight for the Kuna Gedola. It's okay to question why Aaron was chosen. But once the choice is made obvious, then you got to pack it in. And that's symbolized by the leaders taking it home with them. They didn't allow the machlokas and the tainos to fester. You know, Rav Asher Weiss mentioned recently, well, not so recently, a while ago, that when he spoke in one of the times he spoke in Teaneck, when he mentioned that someone asked him if it's mutter to daven in a shul where they weren't so careful about COVID restrictions. Or do you assume that there are a bunch of apikorsim or whatever, that you can't daven with such rishayim and whatever. So does the negligence of the administration and the membership of a Mossad mean that they should be shunned forever? And Rav Asher said that he thinks the avodah is the opposite. Rav Asher, for anyone who knows, was like extremely careful and strict throughout the pandemic. And he said that he thinks that the avodah is to do the opposite. Once there's no longer a threat to human life in maintaining the machlokas, you drop the machlokas. When it's a threat, when it needs to be had, it needs to be had. You need to save people and pikuach nefesh doch everything. But then there comes a time to turn the page, to take our sticks back, to let it never be said about us, vayilonu, that we allow disputes to fester and to sit. Our disputes, however righteous they may be, and sometimes they're very righteous, can ultimately become pasulbalina when they cease to serve a purpose, when they're not accomplishing anything anymore, other than creating a sense of machlokas. And that's the key in terms of so many interpersonal relationships. You know, it's such a yetzer hara that people have, that if you ever do something to hurt somebody and you ask for mechila, it's such a yetzer hara for the person who grants the mechila to always have it in the back of their mind and to always bring it up. And they, like, if you take one misstep, oh, that fits the pattern of what, you know, what this person always does. Our job is to let go sometimes. Our job is to be able to say that I'm a human being, and of course I'll feel slighted sometimes. Of course, sometimes I'll feel upset. Sometimes I'll feel that I wasn't treated fairly. But I'm ready to move on. I'm ready. And that's the difference between the likes of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen on the one hand, and the likes of Korach Vaadasu on the other hand, of Vayalinu, Vayilonu, of having a perpetuating machlokas by sleeping with it and keeping it and waking that machlokas up each and every morning. That's something that we're meant to avoid. Okay, everyone should have a great